Heavenly Father, as we now turn to ponder thy word and the eternal truths therein, I would bid thy Spirit to remove the scales from the eyes of thy people, that they might behold the wonder of thy way. Father, unstop their ears, that they might hear that still small voice of life, speaking to them through Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord. For I ask that prayer in his name. Amen. Well, now, I know a lot of you. We were privileged to share together in 3.5 years, in a sense, of the founding work of Burlington East, and it leaves my wife and I with so very rich memories. I don't know whether you realize it, but I really retired 4 times. I retired first in 1968 when I gave up a teaching career. I was a chemistry teacher, and I loved my work. I loved the young people. I began work as a minister at Runnymede Presbyterian Church in 1968. And I retired from ministry just 3 years ago, right now. They're wonderful years. And at my last retirement party, I was sitting visiting with another old minister friend of mine, and I said to him, I said, Rod, if you were writing a book about our time, what would you call it? He thought for but a moment. He said, I'd call it the Great Disappointment. And what he was referring to was the retreat of the church. The Great Disappointment. It was a title I could never put on a book, because I only saw the reverse. I only saw the Church of Christ in growth. And those are wonderful, wonderful 45 years. But something has happened. When my wife and I moved 3 years ago, August last, to be near our daughters in Corunna, we had moved from that community 25 years earlier. Our daughters married and stayed behind after my ministry there finished. And during these years that we've been home, I've supply sometimes. About 2 Sundays a month I'll do. And wherever I go, the churches are shadows of what they had been. Mere remnants. People holding on. But shadows of what I had experienced. The reasons are pretty clear. Just last week, there was a result of a poll published in the States about religious behavior of people. They talked about the millennials. They're not here. A few of them I can see, half a dozen. These are those under 40. It said of all of those people, 1/3 of them would claim religious affiliation, none. They have none. They don't appear interested. They don't appear to want any. They're not seeking anything. They have none. Now, I want you now to walk with me and walk with Jesus as we experience what his disciples experienced. And maybe you'll come to an understanding of what we have to do as Christians in the year of our Lord 2016. They were all tired, the Bible says. And Jesus said to them, come, let's rest a while. Let's find a quiet place. People were long able to communicate before iPads and all of the gizmos and gadgets that mark your lives. Word spread where he was going. When he arrived there with them, 5,000 were waiting. They had brought the sick, the hurt, and Jesus walks amongst them and he ministers to them. Continuing his work, yea, he was tired. And there he worked that miracle of the 5,000, feeding the 5,000. Now think of what the disciples must have thought. They must have thought, we have hitched our wagon to a real star. Where is this going? Look at the crowds. 5,000. Look what he's doing. When they realized something was afoot, they were about to seize Jesus and make him their king. Jesus slips away with the 12. A little while later, he surfaces again in the synagogue in Capernaum. He had said this, I am the bread of life. He who follows me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. He who comes to me, I'll never cast away. They get to the synagogue and the debate starts. How can we feed on your body? And as the arguments raged, they started to slip out the doors. Eventually, they're almost all gone. Jesus looks at the 12. He senses their discouragement. And he says to them, will you go too? Will you also leave? He says. Simon Peter, one of the 12, said, Lord, to whom can we go? I guess it depends upon what you want. If you want financial advice, go to a banker. If you need psychiatric help, find a doctor. Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They knew Jesus had something that no one else had. No one had taught like he did. No one spoke like he did. No one did the works he was doing. And they came to believe he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, that truth has been the driving force of our Christian generations for 2,000 years. That has driven the saints and the missionaries, the martyrs and our beloved dead for 2,000 years. They believe that. They believe that as Christians we have something unique to offer, and if we don't offer, people will perish. They believe that. We gave of our gold. We sent our missionaries scurrying around the world, many losing their lives, driven by that belief, that core belief of the Christian faith. Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he said something else. A few years ago, I was attending a funeral of a dear friend, a Rotary colleague of mine in a huge United Church. He was a dentist, well thought of. The place was packed. The minister stood up reading the lessons. He read that beautiful John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. But he got to the last verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he stopped. I wanted to stand up and shout and say, finish the verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was the rest of the verse. That is the message of the church. We have a story to tell about Jesus and His love. We have a call to baptism. We have a call to faithful living. Can you allow for second thoughts? Yes, you can allow for second thoughts. John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus. John heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." John died in prison. They took off his head. But before he died, John sent this message to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should I expect another?" Jesus said, "Go and tell John what you see and you hear, that the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are being raised to life. Go and tell him this." John died in faith. Now the witness of the Bible, the witness of the Christian church, is that salvation is through Christ alone. Well, how on earth does that fit in our modern Canada? Somewhere in this church is a little green book called Living Faith, summarizes the teachings of the Christian church. One of the statements is this: salvation comes from God's grace alone, received through faith in Christ. Well, there's the dilemma. Here we are in a different kind of Canada, a Canada in which there are all different kinds of people. You only need to look at the federal cabinet to get an idea of the nature of our country. First, the nuns. Half of the cabinet ministers did not take their oath on Scripture. They carried no Bible. We have in cabinet Presbyterians, a health minister, who's in a bit of trouble right now. That's the Presbyterian part of it. But we have Christians, and we have Jewish people, we have Sikhs, we have Muslims, we have indigenous folk with their languages and with their faith. We have all sorts of people. And here we are saying we're the people of the way. We know we have something, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit this kind of Canada. It seems that now in our country, the measure of truth is the sincerity with which you hold your belief. If you believe something sincerely, that's true. I can believe the earth is flat. That doesn't make it right. But this is the measure now of what is true. Now, all of this negates the Scriptures. That Todd carried in and the words contained, they're all negated. In the Bible, there is this verse. "Be not conformed to the world," it says, "but be ye transformed by the working of the Spirit." There's a new translation of that. That was the King James, the Authorized. The new translation is this: don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And that's what's happened. The world has squeezed us into its mold. And so we go along with this. We think, well, it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as they're sincere. That's all there is to it. That negates the Scriptures. It mocks the cross. It makes meaningless the sacrifice of Christ, because we're now saying that nothing matters. Well, I don't believe it. it still matters. Peter, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, where else can we go? He said, we know you're the Messiah, he says. We know that. Well, dear friends, what do we do then when we're stuck in this type of a country, type of a world? Well, first we do this. We cannot present Christ from an attitude of arrogance. That won't fly. We cannot do it. But we can present Christ with another attitude. With the attitude of a person who's starving and has found food and can say to others, we know where there's food. We know where there is forgiveness. It's in Christ. Christ alone. And it's going to be tough. Because the world isn't going to let us cling to our beliefs. It threatens us every day. Every day. But it does not negate the truth. And the truth is that which Peter uttered, Lord, to whom can we go? Well, I conclude then, what do we do with the gospel? Well, we believe it. And we cling to it. And we present it humbly and sincerely to this world. And then we leave it in the hands of God. That's all we can do. We leave it in the hands of God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we present Christ now as beggars at the foot of the cross, telling others where there is forgiveness. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have no claim on arrogance. For when we look at it, other souls, we say, there but for the grace of God goeth I. Lord, we know not why thou hast called us in a sense, save we have been predestined for this. But thou hast given us truth, and the world would love to rip it away from us. Father, strengthen our faith. Strengthen our unbelief in these challenging times. And help us to continue to offer the gospel call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Bless us. And help us to walk in your way. Unto eternal life. For this prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now let us continue to worship God. If you ponder it and think about it, when you lie upon your bed at night or linger over a coffee in the morning, do you know we're the last line from the cross? We're it. We are the church. Part of those witnessing believers in all denominations who know Christ as Lord. To that end, I now call for your tithes and offerings for the witness and work of the church.